Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Nighthawks Radio. We on tonight. I'm your host, Coach Epps, along with my co-host, Coach Coop, who will be with us in a second. Great to be back this week on Blog Talk Radio. A lot of very, very interesting topics to talk about. We really have to get started with some of the things in the games from last week. It's going to be a magnificent show. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about men and women and the differences when we hold our teammates accountable. We think that was a very hot and interesting topic for today. We're going to be able to assess this and do this and try to come through on the team. So this is going to be the topic of the week. The Nighthawks, little bit about us last week. We played a Boston Militia, and we didn't fare so well, but it was quite a game. Kudos go out to the Boston Militia. They did an absolute fantastic job and the things that they were doing, and we want to take our head off to the Boston Militia. We want to give the anybody that wants to call in today, is going to be a hot topic. Area code 347-826-7278. We're going to talk about many different things, and we're just so happy to be back. And we're going to get our co-host, Coach Coop, to call in a second. We're going to get started. We're just glad to be here again this week and blessed that we're here on Blog Talk Radio, as usual. So we're going to get started with tonight's topic, men and women and the differences when we hold our teammates accountable. Wow, that's going to be an interesting topic.
You already said that, Coach.
Oh, there you go, Coach Coop. I thought you was having a little technical difficulties. It's called paying your bill.
Yes, so anyway, moving on. Coach,
what's
differences?
Going on?
Differences, hot topic. Hey, but I heard your little intro about last week's game, and but let me just take a note. I know you probably will talk about that, or we'll go into it a little later, but, you know, hats off to the ladies for the Nighthawks. That, you know, we played with injuries, and the ladies went both ways. It took a butt with them, but they didn't quit. And, you know, that says a lot about the character of the team, and it's a great foundation to build on for the future. And hats off to the Boston Militia. You know, you have some great players out there, and they look like they're going to have a really successful season. And they're going to be mixing it up with all the other teams that are flourishing throughout the league. So, you know, hats off. We're a class organization. I know we had some issues with them last year. But, you know, that was just the taste of competition. And I can't really say it's a rivalry because, you know, it's football, and it's aggressive, and it's this good-natured play. So I wouldn't even go to venture to call them a rival, Coach. I just call them one of the most tough teams that we tend to play. And, you know, they got the better of us this year. And hats off on to them and their future games.
Well, that's no doubt, Coach. It was a very, very tough game last week at home against the Boston Militia. And like you said, they're an up-and-coming team, and to be a powerhouse such as D.C. and Pittsburgh, perhaps. And our hats goes off to them, and we wish them good luck on the rest of the season.
Yeah, you can only say good things about them, Coach. And like I said, a lot of exciting games, and I'm sure we'll get to that a little later. Have the league flourish as we always do, and you're going to have a great show because, of course, we're here live at in LA broadcasting the game live for the Lakers and the Magic, and we may be on the floor from time to time, and I just getting you guys make y'all think we were big league when he was there. You know, I couldn't even buy a popcorn bag or some peanuts to get to that show, and Coach wouldn't pay for my expenses. So I could broadcast live from L.A., from Staples Stadium. But, you know, maybe next year's budget, Coach, my luck would be here in Baltimore with the Wizards.
Yeah, I'm glad you recognize the fact that I wouldn't pay for the broadcast out in L.A. or pay for the trip for you to go to L.A., Coach, because, for quite frankly, I just want you to pay your cell phone bill and we can get this show on the road, you know?
Well, it wasn't a cell phone bill. I had a couple towers down, you know, here in Baltimore. You know, when you have the one plan, the $10 plan, you know, you got to make sure all three towers up. You know, so I only had like one and a half. So, you know, I had to, you know, make a phone call then and told them I'll make a future donation once we come back from Connecticut, where we'll be playing this upcoming Saturday.
No doubt, Coach. Let's get into this week's hot topic. Men and women and the differences between men and women holding their teams accountable for their actions on and off the football field, Coach.
No question. It's a different mentality, Coach. We've seen it not only this year, but, you know, probably in a lot of sports where you have team play when it involves, you know, total women play. I think, and you take that sport and you compare it to a male sport, the accountability is that much intense, I believe. You know, we say we keep it real. That more intense with men as it with women, because, you know, we notice a lot of times that sometimes, you know, especially with new teams, they're a little apprehensive and going up and telling that teammate or calling that teammate and, you know, telling them what their expectations are. I mean, a lot of this, you know, you try to instill it in training camp. You do all the things that you can within a given period of time. And like we said before, these ladies do have, you know, come from different occupations and different jobs. And, you know, a lot of times, depending on what their roles are, you know, some are more apt to speak out and be upfront about their feelings or what the expectations. And there are other people that have the occupations where, you know, they're pretty much a worker. So it's an interesting mix. And the male side, it doesn't matter where they come from because it's so competitive. You know, the object is team, and the object is the focus is to win. And then you got to have all the pieces, all the fingers on the hand working together. And if you don't have that, there's an issue. Sometimes the thumb get angry with the pinky, and, you know, you got to bring the pinky in line, you know, so they can make that fist and go out and break that board and move forward in a concerted effort, a very strong effort to accomplish their goal. But when you don't have that, when people are apprehensive about confronting their teammate, you know, like we've seen on the field with some of our players, it could definitely cause, you know, some problems. It could cause some problems, and, you know, hopefully, you know, that whole concept of team building needs to be focused and generated more in the training. Because we're always looking for ways so they can grasp that concept.
No doubt, Coach, and that's very well put. We're trying to grasp that concept between the team sport and holding each other accountable because, like so many teams, once you join a team, you're held accountable to each other, Coach. And I think any individuals joining a team sport other than golf will understand that your teammates – hold you accountable because they are just as responsible as you are for the outcome of every game. And once the coaching staff and the teammates hold a person to a certain level of esteem, you probably get the best out of that individual, Coach.
That's true. I mean, what can you say? I mean, it's, like I said, I think the difficult part is that, you know, when players have to come out of their shell, and especially when it's difficult when you're just meeting people for the first time. I mean, you've got players on the team that, you know, tend to try to get everyone rallied and started in the right direction. But, you know, even some of the leaders are a little bit apprehensive in going after that player and maybe grabbing them by their face masks, you know, as we would, you know, as it has been, whether it's on the practice field, you know, if the coaches are getting on us on the practice field, and, you know, that individual's constantly doing, you know, the same mistakes, or he's not working you know, off site to get himself better, and he comes back to practice with that same, you know, poor work ethic. You know, we as males, you know, we tend to get on people because, quite frankly, Coach, I don't run for other people. You know, I don't do push-ups for other people. Something's got to give. And, you know, that's always been our mentality, especially for the males, you know, who play this game. Our mentality is, you know, I'll do this to get better, but I ain't going to do this for you. You know, you're not going to keep making mistake after mistake after mistake and not work on those things to try to better yourself. So, you know, you need to, you know, learn your playbooks, do the plays, learn the routes, learn the techniques, and not just keep coming there day after day after day and making the same mistake. I mean, because you know, one of my old philosophies is, you know, you got 30 players, you know, y'all go over in the woods. If 29 come back with the helmet and jersey, I'm happy. But as long as the same mistakes are not happening on the field.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Coach. Let's dig a little deeper into why do you think men and women hold each other accountable differently?
Well, that's a good question. That might be my question to you, Coach. You're a little older than me, so I would expect that you would have more experience in that matter.
Yeah, okay. Right. Basically, let's go back to a scenario, Coach. Let's go back to a scenario. Every team needs a team leader. Do you agree with that?
No question.
All right. Now, and I was looking at SportsCenter today, and they was talking about lights out Sean Merriman for the San Diego Chargers, and they were saying how they missed his leadership last year. You know, and defense just wasn't the same. And this is kind of where I'm going in the direction of this, holding each other accountable, Coach. You know, sometimes when you play a football game, you know, from week to week, it's totally different, correct?
No question. You got to prepare. Each opponent is different, and you've got a short period of time to make corrections and move forward to the next game.
You're absolutely right. So what I'm basically asking you is sometimes one particular week you might start off slow and real lethargic and just not really getting off the ground and running like you should. And that's when you kind of look towards that team leader to get you pumped up and started and ready to get in there and holding the teammates accountable. So with the absence of that coach, how does the team motivate itself?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, that's not a tough question. I mean, when are you talking about how the team as far as males or team as women or both?
The difference between men and women that you've seen.
Well, I think if it's just not getting into, let me just back up. Coaches have a timetable to get certain things done. And in that grasp, in that aspect, things are not going like, you know, the coaches go from, you know, practice mode into discipline mode. You know, and after a while, leaders or those individuals who are, you know, quiet leaders eventually will step up to the plate and start getting things, become an extension of the coach's voice. And then from that, the pressure is peer pressure. The players put pressure on the players to bring them about to perform. On the other side of that, when we have women playing, that we don't see that. There's a few sprinkled in there, but you know that aggression, that confrontation with your teammate, it's just not there. Yes, you got a few players that like to try to rally the troops, but even sometimes we see it. It's even sometimes difficult with them, and it's just a mindset because you know sometimes they just want to do it their way.
And I have no problem with that, Coach. I mean, speaking on this very interesting topic, what about, let me give you an example. We've coached male and females at this point in our illustrious career. And one of the things I particularly noticed, Coach, is that the difference between females and males, it's like this. Remember when we ran to Oklahoma with the males and when we ran to Oklahoma with the females,
right.
Trying to teach them different tackling techniques and just basically trying to see how tough they are, Coach. Just the old school technique to Oklahoma that most coaches probably still run if they, you know, they're from the old school and perhaps not if they're from the new school. But remember how one of the, not one, but several females came to us after the Oklahoma and said that, you know, it was particularly hard for them to really get into hitting and trying to hurt their teammates. And they looked at it as them hurting their teammates and not making their teammates better. Where the male counterpart, when we run Oklahoma, they're more into trying to prove to the coaches that they're a viable and important entity that can be used for to play football, and they want to show their skill level off and not looking at it in the aspect like they're hurting their own teammates. You remember that?
Yes, I do remember that, Coach. And that was it took us back, you know, because, again, you know, watching women for the first time and hearing that, you know, it was just, you almost like made you stop in your tracks because, you know, when we try to explain to them, you know, this is a game of aggression. I mean, like we always said all the time, the players will only get better the harder you make them work. And then the game becomes easier.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct there, Coach. And this is some of the things that I see the differences in men and women playing football. And what I'm trying to get started in, Coach, is trying to really look into the differences to make an improvement on every level of women professional football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the key, Coach. Look for improvement. Looking for ways to educate them. I mean, we've always discussed ways after practices, trying to get the message across. And you know, we've talked about some things we're going to bring about in the classroom for the upcoming year to show them. And I know doing one of the pieces when I did the defensive portion of it, and I showed a little clip on you know, hits and the defense, and the attitude of defense, and the aggression, and you know, the overall nastiness. You know, they were really surprised by that, and they were oohing and aahing. You know, when I was showing them, demonstrating that film, and I just had opportunity to show them, you know, the aggressiveness, the mindset on the sideline, you know, that hunger to go after people. And like you said, you know, after they seen that, and we put them in that situation with Oklahoma, you know, you thought that'd been enough to kind of get them going and get them riled up and want to be able to get that. Get the players to say, ooh, that, wow, you know, once you got that good hit. And, you know, we had it a couple times, but not as much as we would like to.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Coach. Let's take some off-the-field incidents that that will further delve deeper into the differences between men and women and holding their teammates accountable. Let's say, for instance, when you used to play football, Coach, back in 1940, what was that? But you remember when you used to play with the leather helmet on and no face mask.
You mean when I played with Jim Thorpe, right?
Right, basically. What I'm saying to you is, remember how, let's just say, an off-field incident took place, and the coach found out and he discussed it in front of the team the very next day, and they said something like, such and such will not be playing this week because of his off-field antics, and he's suspended for one game. The male counterparts, how did you particularly feel about that?
Because he was hurting the team, Coach. We felt like, you know, he felt more of himself than the individual, I mean, than the team. You know, because, you know, from the very beginning you play this sport, you're taught, you're preached team, and that no one individual is greater than a team. And then, you know, especially if that person's a key player, you know, a running back, quarterback, wide receiver, you know, key lead on your defense. You know, when he does something like that, you know, the team, you know, sometimes teams rally behind it, but sometimes, more oftentimes than not, tend to go into a funk, and you tend to have a bad game.
You're absolutely right. Let's take the female counterparts, for instance. Remember when we had to suspend a player last year for a game, and tell me, what do you remember about the reaction of the team then?
It was kind of nonchalant, Coach. They was like, oh, well, you know, what's next? You know, what are we doing next today, Coach? I mean, there was no, you know, no anger, no disappointment. I mean, they really didn't even talk about it at all. They just went, oh, let's move on, which, you know, to some degree, you know, let's move on is good. I mean, because you realize that you do have to move forward, and you can't let that be an issue. And but they didn't take it to the point where that particular individual hurt the team.
You're absolutely right. And one of the things that I found very interesting was the fact that, let me give you an incident. After the game that particular week, they all went out and had dinner together, which I found nothing wrong with it because teammates had to bond. But we're just talking about the differences between female and male. And that particular week, if you'd have lost that game because of one of the key people that should have been there, the guy suspended for his off-field antics, how would you have felt about partaking in food with him after that game that you just lost and knowing that he didn't play?
Well, quite frankly, Coach, you would have got a steak knife to the throat. You know, like I said before to you, Coach, I mean, you come out there as a team and, you know, you work hard, you love sweat, you prepare, and then all of a sudden you got a key factor missing. You know, it takes all that hard work and that preparation down the drain. And then you want to, I know, I don't fellowship with a guy like that. You know, quite frankly, I'm waiting to, I get an opportunity to see him on the field again during practice. So we do some one-on-ones and we're going to have a nice little conversation. And I mean, that's the mindset.
Okay. So why do you think it's because of females not being that ingrained in football, which I mean by they don't have the football background that males have? Do you think it's because of their nurturing ways that they forgive a lot quicker than males? I mean, what do you think it is, Coach?
Well, you know, I don't wear a skirt, and I don't wear, anyway, I can't wear some of that stuff anyway. I mean, I know you used to, but anyway, I mean, it's hard to say, Coach, because, yeah, they have that nurturing aspect, you know, that capability they want to, but they came out and said they want to play this game. They've watched this game on TV. You know, it's one thing to watch this game from afar and to watch it on television or sit up in the stands to watch it, but when you get into, you know, the true aspects of the game. That's why we talked about the previous show. You know, the things that go on in the locker room, the things that go on in practice, the preparation, the mindset. You know, and I don't think a lot of them grasp that. I mean, this league has flourished quite well through the years, but there are some teams, you know, that, you know, have fallen off or, you know, players have, you know, either stopped playing for one reason or another because I think they really think there's nothing to this game. And the ones that stick it out and have played for years, you know, my hat's off to them because, you know, the reason why they're successful, I believe that they're successful, is they do hold their counterparts accountable. And that's why you see successful teams like Boston, New York, you know, and Pittsburgh, you know, and you know, upcoming D.C., because, you know, the players do hold them accountable. And that makes a difference. That's all about the team chemistry. All that works into the overall success of a team. You know, no one player makes the team move forward. You know, you can have a great quarterback, no line, you're going to have problems. You can have a great line, no quarterback, you're going to have a problem. You can have a great receiver, no quarterback, you're going to have a problem. Especially when you have these key positions that don't show up or have some off-field antics, you know, it's going to be issues. Now, you look at even the league now, you got T.O. going, you know, great player, but a lot of antics. Yes, he made it to the Super Bowl, but, you know, unfortunately with McNabb, he was sick or whatever was going on with him that day. You know, they didn't perform well. T.O. stepped up. He was hurt. He played, but there were some other issues. But now he's down. He was down in Dallas. You know, you got all that talent, and he's a distraction. When you have that, the team goes in the tank. And I'm sure that, you know, he probably said, well, you know, Jason Jarrett was the problem. I think he just recently said that. Or one of the other players was probably the reason why he
I got kicked out of Dallas, and now he's in Buffalo. But if you're a problem, at what point do you wake up? You know, but, you know, in this money market, you know, teams don't stand for that. But we do have women's leagues that apparently do send that message out. But we also have leagues where women just don't grasp the concept of holding it. But I think a lot of that is still this league is still early. It's still young. I think they're going to get there. I think because you see a lot of it, there's 52-some-odd teams in the league, and you've got, you know, some great competitive teams. And I think once that's narrowed down to, you know, to that finite group of teams, when you've got some serious competition and serious player and some solid foundations, I don't think it's going to be an issue, Coach.
Well, you hit a lot of interesting points there, Coach, and you're absolutely right about it. What I'm actually saying to you is it does have to get to the point where they understand confrontation is good in the realm of football. It's okay to put pressure on players to perform because besides the coaches, they have to know that each individual player holds each other accountable for their jobs. And until they understand that, Coach, until they breathe that, until they feed off of that, it's going to be a laissez-faire attitude.
Well, that's true. But like you said, it's part of their makeup. And I think they see the game from afar until they, you know, actually put in that position where they, you know, have to hold their teammates accountable. I mean, like I said to you before, we've seen players on the field, and we said this, at what point, at when? When do you get tired of running for another teammate? When do you get tired of doing push-ups for another teammate? Are you going to just keep running? Yeah, you'll get better. But what point? What's going to be the breaking point? And I've asked this of players. When's going to be the breaking point for you to step up and say enough is enough? I mean, what does it have to take? And, you know, I've said that a number of times, Coach, and then I just got that blank stare. You know, I really got that blank stare. You know, it's that nurturing, that feeling of who am I to talk to this person? Or, it can't be so much that they're going to whip them behind because half the time, you know, they put the jersey on, they don't even want to hit each other. So it's difficult. But, you know, there's definitely a difference. But like I said, there are some. It's not all because, like I said, you can look around the league and you can see where, you know, teams are holding people accountable because, you know, look at the success record of their team, of their franchises.
You're absolutely correct there, Coach. And like you said, I mean, it's important to note that I did see a better influx of women this year that was willing to hold their teammates accountable. And I think that's what it's going to take for this lead to really be pushed over the top like it can be, Coach.
What can I say to that, Coach? I mean, like I said, you hit it on a nail on the head. I mean, there's a lot of potential for this league, and I see a lot of potential for this league. There's a lot of things as far as, all the pieces are really starting to come together with sponsorship. More women are coming out. We've had some tryouts, you know, people just coming out now or calling and inquiring about the league. And I think, you know, the orientation process to acclimate women into this, from the beginning, to kind of hone in on that in the beginning, I think that's going to have make a successful player. It's going to make a successful team. And I think if all the teams that are having difficulties out there, and with players, you know, saying they have an interest in falling off because, you know, teammates are making mistakes and they're getting caught up with, if they know from the beginning that they have to hold these individuals accountable for their actions and step up to the plate and realize it is a team effort and it's not about them, team first attitude, I think once that overall orientation starts to be ingrained into their mindset, I think they're going to be you're going to find some better players. But, you know, to just to bring them on to the game, bring them out to the field, have them run around, do some calisthenics and some time trials and all this stuff, and then put them in the mix with teammates that they don't know, that they've never met before, and ask them to be aggressive and hold people accountable, you know, when they screw up. It's going to be a difficult task for them if that's the coach, and the teams will be constantly having the same problems that they're having, where players will be falling off, and you know, you just start seeing players shying away from the game.
Yeah, Coach, you're about right about that. And like I said, I see it getting better, and we're going to keep pushing the issues because, like I said, sometimes players can move other players in ways even coaches can't do, Coach, because they're on that battlefield with them. They're standing right there beside them, and sometimes it's the reinforcement to know that, you know, I got your back right then and there. You know what I mean?
Well, that's just it. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, we've seen it that not just on our team where, you know, a player will go down and the other team just kind of stands around and just kind of watches a land there, you know, and you just see that there's no kinship there. There's no sense of family there. And unfortunately, it's sad, but, you know, it is really truly players that have to step up and recognize that each one has a role to play. Each one has a role. We can't expect everybody to be a captain, but you do expect everybody to pull together and understand that this is, you know, the team philosophy.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. Well, we're at that time that we're going to announce all the wonderful sponsors that we possibly have here. And what we're going to do there, Coach. So let's announce the sponsors, and we're going to take a spin around the league from last week after that.
Well, no problem. Right here, you know, broadcasting right down from the Staples Center right here in L.A. There goes Kobe. Kobe! I'm like trying to give our fans an opportunity to think that we were down there for the game, but we're here in Baltimore. And as in Baltimore, we do what we do for our sponsors, because we always, when we finish this show, because I think I'm going to try and get down to Peace and a Cup of Joe for a cup of coffee to kind of settle me down, head right down to 713 West Pratt Street for some great coffee and some atmosphere. But needless to say, Coach, I'm not coming to your place because you ain't got no food in the refrigerator. So what I will do, though, and it's still open here on the East Coast, I'm going to stop down at Flavini Ware down in White Marsh, because I'm going up to Connecticut and I want to look good. So I'm going to stop in there for some new T-shirts and go up for some nice sports apparel so I can walk around in town of Connecticut and look fly. And I tell you, I might have time to stop at the gym and work out at Velocity Sports to get my body in shape, because, you know, just never know. You know, walking around town of Connecticut, you know, I might find myself a new home. So I need to go down to 1427 Clarkview Road in Mount Washington to Velocity Sports. And, you know, as always, if you mention, you know, you heard it here on Baltimore Nighthawks Radio, mention us and probably have some great deals for you down there. You know what? And if you want to just take some, you know, that's what we ought to do, Coach. We ought to stop down because, you know, we're going to be on the road. We need to take plenty of coffee. And we got the team up there. We need to keep them awake through our sessions, especially our film sessions, our strategy sessions. So I think we need to stop over there to our favorite, well, I can't say one of our favorite places, but one of the best places to go get coffee by the cup or by the pound, and that's Thief Coffee. That's right. Fill up whole coffee beans. You can get Thief, like I said, by the cup or by the pound. Go down to Waverly Farmers Market, Eddie's Markets, all both down in Charles Village, and a host of other locations. And as always, you can go to their website at www.zeekscoffee.com, and you can give them a call at 443-992-4388. And even though we're coming to the end of the year, with the end of the 2009 season with the ball on my sponsor, a player or the team, and if you go to tbryant73@gmail.com, you can contact her for some great packages for the upcoming 2010 season. And sponsor the team, sponsor a player, get a player involved, and introduce women's football to them. And I assure you, you can't miss. And as always, you know, we send this out,
You know, we always like families to come out, and we appreciate our fans that came out, as always, to our last home game. Unfortunately, it wasn't a win for us, but, you know, we always do appreciate them coming out. And as always, we like the families to come out and watch the game. And as our part of the effort to curb, to stimulate the economy, we've offered, I always offer two tickets, and Coach F always offers two tickets to anyone, for a family, especially a family of four, to come on and see the Nighthawks play. Now, unfortunately, you got to make that long drive. But if you were a true Nighthawks fan, you'd be flying up the night before, staying and being in the stand to cheer the Nighthawks on. So, again, my tickets are out. Coach F's tickets are out. And, again, we like to see people travel up and see the Nighthawks and come out for a great venue. And I tell you, you can't be disappointed for great football, women's football. And I tell you, these women really come to play.
Yes, they do, Coach. And it's absolutely good way to lead into the next segue, around the league on May 30th, Coach. Last week, we're going to visit some scores around the league. Man, it was a tough week, like we said, for the Nighthawks against the Militia. They won over to in Nighthawks backyard 66-0, Coach. And it was a really rough week, but as you say, at least we didn't give up, Coach. And that's what we like to see. The gumption females are keep fighting, Coach. Some of the other scores around the lead, the Blitz took on the Nemesis, Coach. And you talking about a tight game. I like to see in that game, Coach. The score was 13-12. 13-12. The Nemesis over top of the Blitz, but it had to be a heck of a game, Coach. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to keep spinning you around the lead. The Divas played the Firebirds, Coach, and the Divas won 42-0.
Not surprising there. Divas are on the roll, that, you know, preparing for the championship run, and it's no question that, you know, it's going to be a good playoff. I look forward to a good playoff this year.
Yes, and the Crushers versus the Passion, Coach. You wouldn't believe that score.
No, I still don't believe it, Coach. 76-0. Ooh, that team, I tell you, after they took that loss to D.C., man, they're about business. They had to get back in the winning ways, and they sure did.
Yes, they did. 76-0, Coach. They did. The Passion over the Crushers, and the Force over the Tribe, Coach. The Force and Tribe played. The Tribe actually won the game 30-14.
Oh, hats off for them. Hats off.
I bet you didn't pick that score. How about the Diamonds and the Fury, Coach? 41-8.
Oh, that's surprising. You know, you got the championship Diamonds. You know, they're making their run. They're making their statement. They're gearing up for the playoffs, Coach. Get ready to take on all comers.
How about another tough, tight game last week, Coach? The Illusion versus the Freedom, Coach. The Illusion won 20-13.
Well, you know, the Freedom's a good team. They're coming up. They're keeping it close. And, you know, the Illusion's not a bad team. They've had their bumps along the way, but hats off to them for their win that week.
Yeah, how about the Fuel versus the Aftershocks, Coach? The Aftershock pulled out a victory 65-36. Ooh. That was a high-scoring game.
Yeah, because, you know, hey, you know, usually the Fuel doesn't put any points on the board, and that's good to see things are starting to click. You know, like we said, you know, sometimes teams get blown out, and, you know, there's a lesson in that. But there's also a lesson, you know, when teams don't give up and they still try to put points on the board.
Hey, Coach, how about the Locomotion versus the Fox? The Locomotion won 28-0.
All I can say, Coach, is the damn Foxes should not play on the tracks.
I got you. How about the Quake versus the
Maniacs? That's the Maniacs, Coach. The Quake, the California Quakes over the Maniacs. I think they're still in the asylum, but they did put 14 points on the board.
Yeah, 42-14, Coach. It wasn't a high-scoring game, but I think the Maniacs tried to hang in there, and you can't really blame them for the fight, Coach. The Queens and Phoenix, that was a tough game, 8-0, Coach. Would you call that tight?
That is tight. Matter of fact, you know, I think the Phoenix was an upset, because I believe the Queens was like 5-0 there for a while. That may have been their first loss. I don't have it in front of me, but I think the Phoenix came about in actually, the Phoenix was a 4-0 team. Probably, I didn't know what the score was last week, but they may have been 5-0, and the Phoenix may have been 6-0. So that was an upset there.
Yeah, how about the Punishers and the Mayhem, Coach? The Mayhem won 41-25. That's a tough, high-scoring game.
That's good. But it just goes to show, you know, teams, once these teams get a couple games under their belt, you know, their scoring capacities where they weren't scoring before, you know, I start needing to put things together. And as always, you know, that's a plus going into the following year.
Yes, Rebels at Justice, Coach. The Justice won 28-8.
Hey, that's a good score. And my hats off to the Justice. Good team. And the Rebels, hey, got the work cut out.
Sovereigns versus the Pride, Coach. The Sovereigns win 48-0.
What can you say? Another big blowout. And that's what we're seeing around the league. I mean, you see these lopsided scores, but like I said, it's only a starting point. And teams shouldn't be discouraged. You're going to have that. And I think once you start getting a little parity in the league, like we talked about before, and you start narrowing down the focus with some of the teams on the league, and you know, we'll be looking at the NFL just like that, you know, IWFL just like the NFL.
You're absolutely right. The Sharks versus the Intensity, Coach. The Sharks won 44-0.
Well, you know, that New York team, even though they were away, they still put on a great show, and it's always you know, a big franchise up there in New York. And 44 points is nothing to sneeze at, but not a surprise.
How about the Tigers versus the Nightmares, Coach?
Well, the Nightmares are still having problems, Coach, because apparently they're not even seeing any points in their dream to put anything on the board. But 54-0, it's a nightmare, Coach.
Yeah, it is, Coach. And then we have the Vixen versus the Warriors, Coach.
Well, you got the Warriors smack that butt there with a 38-8 waxing of the Vixen. But, you know, like I said to some of these the teams, you know, these scores, you know, around the league, you've got a different talent players all over who are actually putting together, these coaches out here are actually putting together some good game plans. And, you know, it's trial and tribulation, but, you know, the Warriors came out and did an excellent job. As always, we don't have, I was looking to see if we had any kind of matchups. You know, I like to always predict some matchups for the week. I need to go over here to my little scheduler here and see what we have around the league. We've got the Demolition. As a matter of fact, let's take a look. One of the Diamonds and the Energy we played last week, but I want to take a look at, let's see where the Passion. The Passions are at the Firebird. And where's the Divas and the Sharks? That should be a good matchup. That should be an extreme.
That is sure, Coach.
Extreme matchup. The Sharks will be down in D.C. Visiting President Obama. And who knows? They might get a chance to walk on stage if they beat the Divas. But that should be a hard-fought game with two good teams. And hopefully, you know, it'll be a game between the players.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting matchup there, Coach. The Sharks and the Divas, it should be a tough game there.
No question about it, Coach. You know what? You look around the league and you look going into this ninth week. Postseason's right around the corner. And with the postseason being around the corner, I think a lot of these teams, you know, have to be concerned with, you know, playing their key players, you know, trying not to get injuries and really kind of, you know, fine-tune, you know, their gameplay for the postseason. And, you know, sometimes it's good to peak, and sometimes you can peak too early, and sometimes you can peak at the right time. And it's going to be a question of who peaked at the right time going into the postseason.
Yeah, it's no question about that, Coach. The postseason is going to be some real interesting matchups because, like you said, a lot of victories this year was quite – lopsided. So when you get some of these upper tier echelon teams facing off against one another, and they win in 1 week 48-0, 67-0, and then they come back the following week playing that team that won 67-0, it's going to be some real interesting matchups.
Yeah, you, when you had those blowouts, then you know, you as a coach, you know, you need to kind of question the aspect of you know, what your team is actually doing, and that's the difficulty of it all. Just wondering and making sure what you're putting together. You know, will those plans work against a really true fire, dedicated, disciplined team?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a disciplined team, Coach, and two disciplined teams going at each other is going to be quite a sight to see, which is going to make it for a real power tough weekend playing football in the playoffs. Yeah, so it's going to be a real interesting week, Coach. We're going to have all types of things going on with the matchups, and the playoffs should be quite interesting. And for those who want to do something special, come out and see the playoffs this week, in the upcoming weeks, and they should have a good time. So we're going to really try to catch everybody out there. So we're going to do it, spin around the league during the playoff time, Coach, even though our beloved Baltimore Nighthawks won't be making the playoffs this year. We're going to try to really get into it, and it's going to be quite a task.
No question. I think it's going to be a good game. We got a long ride ahead of us up there to Connecticut. Teams prepare for it. We're kind of banged up, but, we got some great players. You know, and matter of fact, Coach, you know, I can take this opportunity and give a shout-out. I know we fail to mention a lot of our players. We highlight a couple of them, but we never, you know, I don't think we've taken the opportunity to get their names mentioned on the air. And I'd just like to try and, take an opportunity to mention some of the great players that we have playing for us and give them a little shout-out before we get into Week 9. Let me just start with we got number 3, Kathy Oparocha, who plays on the offensive line, and she's also a linebacker. And we've got Nakia Green, plays linebacker for us. We have Lil Drumgold, plays quarterback. One of the team captains is Kendra Bates, playing fullback and defensive back. And we have Catherine, I'd be polite with her. Catherine Sauter, who plays defensive back. We have a running back by the name of Kenyatta Grisby, who has been throughout the league, a great running back. And we have Erica Walker, wide receiver at safety. And we have Kelly King playing linebacker with us. And going down the ladder here, we have Ardeen Jones, plays guard and linebacker. Tasha Fain, one of the team captains for us, and one of the great offensive linemen and nose guard. And Carolyn Few, playing linebacker with us. And we have Kim Hughes, plays center. Regina Nolan, tight end and linebacker. Lindsey Copper, who played tight end and safety for us. And we have a few outside players that will tell you, matter of fact, they are being selected for the All-Star game. And I think we'll do well. But I don't want to get into that. I'll let the league, they'll be surprised just as we will be surprised on the selection process. But we do have some great players, and that could come from any of them. Coach?
I just want to say to you, Coach, you mentioned the great players around the league. I'm going to say, and not only the ones on the team, I want to take the time to thank you for all your assistance this year, Coach, and all the wonderful things that you helped me do as far as the radio show. I want to do it publicly. And say to you, Coach, I'm not giving you a raise next year. Everything is going to be quite a status quo, and we're going to get on through this recession like everybody else at the same salary, Coach.
Well, I was hoping to talk to you after the show because I did want to renegotiate my salary, even though you ain't paying nothing for peanuts. I think the elephants in the zoo get more than what I'm getting to do this show. But quite frankly, it's been a pleasure doing the show with you, and I tell you, I had a great time. I enjoyed our callers. Especially our friend up there in Chicago who hasn't called in. Matter of fact, we haven't talked to him in a while, but we had some great callers that called into the program and voiced their opinions. And, you know, their opinions have always been a value to making this show move as well as it has. But, again, my hat's off to you and all our guests throughout this past season. Probably got one more show coming up. We'll probably talk about the playoffs coming up. And we'll be moving on. But I tell you, I'm looking forward to the playoff session and hopefully a new contract, Coach.
Contract? You can't get no new contract, Coach. I mean, it's like the playoffs. Do you expect to get a new contract we didn't make it to the playoffs? That's ludicrous, Coach. Ludicrous, I tell you. But all I'm going to say to you, like I said, I really appreciate all your work and hard ethic. I appreciate Blog Talk Radio for having us on another Thursday. We won't be on the air next Thursday. We'll be on the air the following Thursday. But it's been my pleasure really talking with the fans out there and talking to different people about the various topics that we brought up from week to week. And hopefully to shed some light on the IWFL, the Women's Female Football League, and we're going to do our best, Coach, our best to keep the things up and running like we're supposed to. Coach, you get some shout-outs to give.
Well, you know, we have to also give a shout-out to the coaching staff and our trainers here at Baltimore Nighthawks. We had some great coaches that came on board with us, been with us for the past couple of years. We have Coach Otto Grice, a great player in his time, a great offensive line coach, and we look and expect great things for them. And we have Coach Jermaine Cornish, who's a running back coach for us, did an outstanding job with the players that he had. And we had Coach Warren, the receivers coach, receivers in secondary. Coach Warren Stevens, actually, is his name. And also we have Coach Kevin Thomas, the linebacker coach. All of those coaches did a great job for us this year. You know, the talent is well-recognized. And, you know, believe it or not, people are not aware a lot of times, not just the Nighthawks coaching staff, but the coaches around the league. You know, the venue of that they're dealing with in women's football, you know, they take the same approach as any other coach, whether it's Pop Warner, whether it's Unlimited Leagues, whether it's college, whether it's pro. You know, these coaches spend hour upon hour, night after night, preparing for game plans week after week for their different opponents. And they put a number of hours in, a number of long hours in. So the hat's off to them. And I don't think our audience really realized that, you know, they approach the game just like the NFL, just like the college, and dedicate themselves to preparing their women to be the best that they can be on the field to deal with their opponents. So, again, my hat goes off to all the coaches around the league, all to my coaches here on Nighthawks Radio, especially with you, Coach Epp. I know you, you know, come to practice a lot of times with toothpicks in your eyes and bloodshot. Well, maybe it's from a toothpick. Maybe it comes from something else. I kind of thought you drank there for a while, but once I learned your personality, understand, talk to your family, they told me you didn't drink. I didn't know what to attribute what your red eyes was to. But anyway, but I know you put a lot of time in preparing the team, and you know, we've seen that in the surprises that we've caught in your display of coaching on the field. So my hats off to you again, and hats off to the coaching staff and the players in the NFL, the IWFL, as well as the other coaches around the league who dedicate their time to this great sport in the IWFL. And again, I'd like to put my shout out too to the ladies at Block Talk Radio to giving us this venue to promote women's football. And, you know, as I always say, hey, you know, the sponsors out there, you know, hey, jump on board. If you're listening all across the country, find a team in the league, anywhere in the league, startup league, you know, get some sponsorship, put some monies out, you know, get those teams started and help promote women's football.
Well, Coach, you had a vast list of people to give a shout-out to, and I appreciate all your time and effort. Like I said, I'm going to commend you. You're one of the you're very, very astute for assistant head coach, Coach. And someday I hope you get your own head coaching job and leave me alone. But until that day, Coach, I just want to appreciate for you being by my side for all these years. Like I said, it's been a pleasure, Coach. Right now, the NBA Finals are on, Coach. They're at halftime, Coach. And it's going to be a good, I believe, seven-game series. I believe it's going all seven games, Coach. I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be a quick series. I think it's going to be a seven-game series.
I can't stand Kobe.
And some of the things that's going on. And we're real excited to see the NBA Finals going off as usual there, Coach. And I do have a final question for you, Coach. Where do you see, honestly, women football 5 years from now?
Oh, gee. Hey, you know, Coach, we're honestly – You know, I think all the things are starting to come into play. You know, this league still needs some tweaking. We talked about this with, you know, the officiating to sponsorship, to training camp, to promoting the league with sponsors. All these things are coming into play. And I think once, you know, you got a lot of league representatives, you know, coming to different venues and they're taking things from each franchise. And you know, when they had the league meetings, the owners are coming together and, you know, they're taking the best from each, you know, each season, from the best from each league and the best from, you know, each team, and bringing those concepts to those meetings. And, I see this league really taking off, you know, especially I think once, you know, you may need some consolidation. So the fan base, and then you start talking about radio and TV sponsorship, I think it's going to take off tremendously in the next 5 years. And hopefully, Coach, it comes to the point where we'll see IWFL, not this soccer crap with people running up and down the field trying to kick a ball back and forth, and I'm sitting there waiting for somebody to score. At least at the IWFL, you go to a game, somebody's scoring. Whether it's big or little, somebody's scoring, Coach. So I see great things for the league. And at halftime, I missed the score there, but here down here in Staples Stadium, Kobe just knocked down a shot, and Lakers look like they're going to be there up. And I hope they lose the series, Coach, because actually I'm not out there. You know, if I was out there, I'd be cheering for the Lakers. You know that's how that goes.
Yeah, Coach, we quite sure you would be cheering for the Lakers if you were out there, but the fact remains you're not out there, and we're going to keep it very positive because, like I said, if you can get your cell phone bill paid within the next week, we can do the show smoothly like we used to. But one thing I want to say, thanks for the sponsorship for Blog Talk Radio We Own Tonight, because it's been a pleasure to have a venue to speak upon each and every week about women's football, the growing popularity of women's football, because attendance from last year, our inaugural season, to this year being our second season, has went up probably about 40%, Coach, and I think that's contributed to the great job that the women do in trying to prepare themselves to play each and every week. We had a great venue to play at, Mergenthaler Vocational Technical High School, the wonderful stadium. I think we're going to be back there again next year, so people are going to know where to look for the Nighthawks at on a permanent basis, and that's going to help also, Coach. Like I said, kudos go out to the owner, Tanya Bryant, for giving us a opportunity to coach professional women's football and all the great things that she do on a constant basis. And I just want to say that to all of you out there in radio and Blog Talk Land, we thank you. We appreciate the venue. We really, really appreciate all the comments and the phone calls and the chats and the emails that we received over the weeks. You don't know how much it means to the coaching staff, and we really do take all your comments and very seriously.
No, we don't. I'm just kidding there, Coach. We do take it seriously. Matter of fact, we got some great compliments from, our host, one of the coaches down in D.C. You know, he hats off for his great comments, especially after he whipped our behind down there. But, that shows us the coaches around the league are listening to us, and hopefully, you know, they can get some of their own shows and start promoting this great league of the IWFL as well. And before I forget, hats off to our sponsors that we mentioned earlier tonight. You know, Zeke's Coffee, Velocity Sportswear, the Plan Beanie Wear, and Peace and a Couple Joes. So, you know, hey, if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't great leadership that we have, we wouldn't have this program, and I want to thank everyone for listening in.
No problem, Coach. As always, thank you for the comments. And remember, there is no good comments, there is no bad comments. There is no good opinions, there is no bad opinion. It's simply your opinion. See you next week. I mean, in 2 weeks. Good night.